Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue this journey of expectation of the coming of the Messiah, that perhaps this Christmas, more people across the world will come to know him and to love him. And ask God to use you. Ask God that sometimes it's a simple word, sometimes it's an act of gratitude, whatever it is, but bring Christ wherever you go. When you're doing last-minute shopping, some people love to do last-minute shopping. A lot of people don't, but there are people who do. When you're doing that last-minute shopping, be very kind to those behind the counter. Really be very kind. You never know who you might be speaking to. Sometimes a kind word has literally, brothers and sisters, saved lives. Literally. So keep your eyes and your ears open wherever you are. Gas station, drugstore, grocery store, wherever you are, be ready. Today we take a look at the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and then 23 and 24. Again, this is a prophetic sense of what the coming of the Messiah would bring. Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. And then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Lo, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, the great and terrible day, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with doom. God desires reconciliation, brothers and sisters. Please don't delay it. If you've been harboring anger, grudges, unforgiveness, bitterness, lay it down before God. Lay it down. Don't carry that burden. It will consume you. It will consume you. Offer forgiveness or receive forgiveness. No matter what side you're on, give it or receive it. Let the burden go. Lest I come and strike the land with doom, says the Lord. Read my little booklet, Captured by Mercy. There'll be material advertising that in just another week or so. I have another little booklet coming out as well on mercy, another aspect of mercy. So there will be two of them. Read them carefully. Read them carefully and open your heart to the grace of God. Psalm 25, lift up your heads and see your redemption is near at hand. And brothers and sisters, that's really true. That's really true. Your redemption is at hand. It's very near. Because if you're in the state of grace, he is within you. His saving work is as close to you as your own breath. It is at hand. But again, he will never force himself upon us. He waits to be asked. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. Teach me how to surrender my will. Teach me how to put my trust in you, best of all and first of all. Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy toward those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him. To fear him means to reverence him, to put his commandments before my own desires. That's what it means to fear him. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and his covenant for their instruction. He will show us the path, and he will supply all the grace we need to live it out, and you will be happy like nothing you've ever known. When you turn away from sin, all the burden gets off your back. Yes, there's hardship. Yes, there are hard times. But there is a presence of God that no one can take from you. And the gospel for today is, again, the gospel of Luke chapter 1, this time verses 57 to 66. I love this one. When time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and the relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. She was barren, which was a sign of disgrace. Displeasure, perhaps, by the Lord. Perhaps there was sin in their past, all that kind of thing. And it was very hard for a barren woman. Very hard. But now she's given birth, and they saw the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. So when they came on the eighth day, this is Jewish custom, to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. Remember, Zechariah hadn't spoken since the angel met him when it was his time in the temple as a priest. He was there in the temple. He was supposed to be there in prayer and adoration. And he didn't believe the angel when the angel spoke to him. And for his punishment, he became mute. He couldn't speak. For 9 months, he couldn't speak because he had doubted the Lord. Now, here was a priest in the temple. Of all of them, he should have had faith in God, but he could not believe that his wife would have a child, not her age. Didn't make sense. Lots of times God does something and asks us to cooperate with something that doesn't make sense. Be very slow to say no. I don't want you mute. But that's what happened to Zechariah. His mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." And who are you? It's the father who's supposed to name the child. And she speaks up because Zechariah can't talk. But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs. They ignored poor Elizabeth. And they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. And immediately his mouth was open. He had delayed his obedience, but now he was clearly obeying the Lord. And so his mouth was open, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." Brothers and sisters, here again, as I've been talking about so much during this Advent season, here again, it's a matter of obedience. It really is. And so often I think the word has a bad taste in our mouth. We think of being oppressed. Or we think that, well, that's just for children. But not me. I'm an adult. I'm in charge of my life. But it is that very adult who, if you really ponder the Lord's words and the Lord's plans and the way in which the Lord works, brothers and sisters, he's divine, we're human. He sees perfectly. We don't. It's very hard for ourselves to realize how limited we are. I mean, we're nothing compared to God and God's understanding and God's view of the entire world and every human heart. God knows exactly what state this world is in, and we don't. And he knows that he needs his disciples. He pleads for us to follow him and to serve him. And he wants us to do what he asks us to do. Instead of forming committees, or instead of postponing, instead of saying, well, that might be plan C, but we want to do this first, and then we want to do this, and God's plan gets kind of swallowed up. sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. We really need to look at this and to say, how much am I my own judge of what's right and wrong, good and bad? How willing am I to trust God in some things? Yes, you need to take counsel. Yes, you need to pray daily. Without that daily contact with God, you can't hear him clearly. Yes, we need to do those things. We need to consult others. We don't make decisions on our own, ever, no matter what age we are. Not major decisions. We think it through, we talk it over, we consult, and most of all, we pray. And then we have opened the avenues whereby God can speak to us and chooses to speak to us. Brothers and sisters, I really want to ask you, these last days before Christmas, I want to ask you to take this seriously, a deeper surrender to the will of God. We're coming into the most beautiful season of Christmas. What a joy. But brothers and sisters, it's so momentary. Unless our lives are more fully given to him, unless we enter into a deeper relationship with him and walk with him and spend time with him and learn from him and learn from his word, that will open up a whole new world to you. And those of you who have entered that world, there is so much more. The more obedient, the more quick we are to obey, the more we're docile. John Paul said docility was crucial. Docility is to be teachable. And all of us as adults think that our teaching, our learning days are over. Brothers and sisters, they're never over, not till we take our last breath. So we want to be in a position of being teachable before the Lord. So that as we celebrate the nativity, the birth of the Lord, and all that grace is being poured out upon us today, to recognize him as the Messiah, to accept him, and to accept his invitation to follow him. That's all there for us today. May we take it quite seriously. Pray the O antiphons. Pray them over and over in these last hours before Christmas Eve Mass and Christmas Day. Pray the O antiphons over. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Give him time. Please give him time. It's the most important thing you can do. The other details will get taken care of. Give the Lord a half hour every day and watch what he does in your heart, both now and during the Christmas season. And please know that I will be praying for all of you. Praying very much that your hearts may be open to grace. And I would ask you, if you will you please pray for me, that my heart too can be open to the grace that God wants to give me or the work in which he wants me to participate at this point. May God bless us all. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.